I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, we're coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios in New York. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. What a week. Conference tourneys all over the place. Pharrell on the bench.com is nailing games. It's the same old story. Big games every night. Pharrell on the bench.com hits them. College rack, conference tourneys, NBA, NHL, boxing, MMA. Every big game. Sign up today for RollOnTheBench.com. I know you're going to dig it. Hide the money from your wife. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, RV, boat? They got that, too. Just go to Geico.com. Carver High and Bocce Ball running it in New York. I'm here with Mafia in Arlington, Texas at the AT&T Stadium for Spence and Garcia. Coming up this hour, we're going to hear from Errol Spence momentarily, and then in the midnight hour, East, 9 West, 11 Dallas time, Boom Boom Mancini will join us on the bench. And we got Jay Berman on updates as well. All right, so I want to go to the phones because there's a lot of people that have been hanging on a long time to get on. Jack in Maryland, you're on CBS Sports Radio. Carver, how you got to pull it?
Hey, Pharrell, what's up?
Hey, man, how you doing, Jack?
All right. I want to say, well, number one, Maryland played a real eight today. I mean, really, they were horrible.
They got burned.
Yeah, they got burned bad. They bent over. But I want your take on the college scandal. It involves a lot of coaches, a lot of low-level coaches, which I think the rich people thought that they could get away with it all. And I just want your take on it.
Well, I think frankly, rich people think they can get away with everything, and it's been that way forever. I mean, that's just all there is to it. The privileged think they have, the juice, the connections, the wherewithal, and the means to get what they want with money. And this is proof in the pudding. I mean, it is. I'm not that into it. I don't. Obviously, it's got people all riled up, and people are talking about it everywhere. I mean, even my wife, 34C, brought it up. She's like, what do you think of these? She didn't, it would appear to me, care about anybody else, but she just was, intrigued that, Felicity Huffman was involved and that this other chick,
Lori Loughlin,
that she paid off a bunch of people or allegedly whatever she did to get her, daughters or something forwarded, passed through, if you will. All I know is I'm not that into it. I'm not surprised at all that, I mean, that's been going on since the beginning of time, hasn't it? People trying to get people into colleges and using connections or legacies to get into colleges or friends of friends to get their kids into special schools and get ahead in the world. I know a lot of people that have jobs that they shouldn't have because their mommies and daddies get them careers. It's a joke. It is what it is. But you know what? No one's going to turn it down when they're afforded that luxury. No kid in the world's going to even care how he got in. He just wants to get in. I remember the one girl said something about, I don't even know who she is. She bragged about one of the celebrity's daughters bragged about how she wasn't there to get an education. She was just there to party.
Yeah, that was Lori Loughlin's younger daughter.
Okay, well, she's an idiot. So, whatever. Your daughter's stupid, and you got her in, and then she proved how stupid she was by opening her fat mouth. So, whatever. All I know is it doesn't surprise me at all that rich people and, people trying to help their kids, and I also really, I mean, at the same time, if you have the juice, why not use it? I mean, honestly, if you can help your kid, who wouldn't do that? Who wouldn't help their kid in life? I don't know anyone that wouldn't. So people say, oh, gee, gad, how awful are these people? And all I think they are is they got busted. They got exposed. So now they're being embarrassed for what they did. But I think, you know, 9 out of 10 dentists prefer that they would do the exact same thing if it was their kid, and they would try to help their kid the same way. I'm serious. Jay in Boca.
Hey, Scotty, you need your own reality show. That's number one.
You think?
Yes, I definitely think. Just give me a minute or two. First of all, I hate to tell your friend from Cleveland, but win is win, and lose is lose, and you're a loser until you win, because it's the culture of, you know, of sports teams. That's the bottom line. So everything you're saying is right on target. And on your friend Odell Beckham, when he tried to swat that onside kick with Chicago, I knew he was gone.
Yeah, I don't remember that play right off the top of my head. Mafia, do you know what he's talking about?
Yeah, I think that Chicago was trying to onside kick it, and instead of trying to catch it or take the hit or block, he just swatted at the ball, and that's when Chicago got that ball, and they came back down. They threw the pass
right.
That ended up tying the game.
I think that there was way more problematic situations for him than that, to be honest with you. I thought I don't think they ever lived down the Miami boat picture, right, when they were all partying in Miami when they should have been, you know, focusing on a big game. They were down on a yacht with, you know, naked women, which sounds fantastic to me. But you can't, frankly, get popped doing that when you know you're who you are and what you're doing for a living and how much money you're making for a living, that your priorities are skewed. I think that was the beginning of the end for him. I think that there were several incidents that turned the Giants organization sour on Odell Beckham. Listen, I've said this 50 million times. The guy's a great player. He is without a doubt a superstar receiver. Great hands and great skill. Great eye, hand, vision, everything. Leap, speed, everything. The guy's incredible. However, at some point, there's a toxicity to the guy and to Antonio Brown. There's a point where teams are willing. They always say talent always trumps everything, and it's just not true. It at the end of the day, if that were the case, if that is true, that they always say talent always wins out, then why did Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham both get traded on the same week? They didn't get traded because of their talent. They got traded because they're both pain in the asses. That's it. That's all there is to it. There's no other way around it. There's no getting around it. All of these GMs, like Gettleman, lying through his teeth that it's a plan that they have. Their plan is in the garbage. It's going out with the dump. I mean, it is a landfill plan. That is a smelly carcass in a landfill is what that plan is. It was a bad plan. But the plan was, their plan, the rich white billionaire owner's plan, was to get rid of him. They're like, we're sick and tired of this guy embarrassing us. We've had it. We're the New York Football Giants. We have a reputation to uphold. They are squeaky clean. The worst thing that's ever happened to them, Mafia, is Lawrence Taylor. And he was the best player they ever had. But he was an embarrassment to them.
Right.
They won't admit it. They won't admit it, but he was a complete embarrassment to them.
Yeah.
All the cocaine and all of his arrests and all his DUIs and everything else, they can't stand that stain on their image. They love their image to be squeaky clean. They are the New York Football Giants. They have a standard that they live by way above the Jets in New York. That's
absolutely
all there, that's all there is to it. And this guy ruins all of that. That's all there is to it.
Right, just him and Plaxico, and that's about it.
All right, I got don't I have Errol Spence here? Is he ready to fire? Errol Spence getting ready for his big fight Saturday night here where we are in Arlington, Texas at AT&T Stadium on Fox Pay-Per-View. Here he is, the IBF welterweight champion of the world, 24-0. Errol Spence getting benched. My man, how you doing, champ?
Doing good.
Tell me about the first time you heard Garcia wanted the fight.
I just laughed it off. I didn't really take it too serious until my manager got in touch with me and told me that, you know, it was a fight that was going to happen or that could happen. So when I got word of that, that's when I took it serious.
You know, then he beats Easter. He calls you out again. What'd you think the second time you heard him calling you out?
Now, we caught out Easter. I kind of already knew that the fight could happen, so I already expected him calling me out. So when he did, I wasn't surprised at all.
So, Errol, how dangerous do you think Mikey really is?
Mikey's very dangerous. I mean, he has a lot of skills, talent, has punching power. You know, he's a good fighter, so, I mean, this is a dangerous fight for myself. This 50-50 fight, And he's going to take everything I have to defeat him.
Do you think the pressure's on you at the end of the day because everybody has you as such a heavy favorite and all this? He's so much bigger than Garcia, and he's going up two weight classes. Is the pressure on you?
No, I'm not feeling any pressure. You know, I got one job. That one job is whoop his ass, man. So that's what I'm going to do. So, I mean, I'm not worried about any pressure and what people saying. You know, I can't let that affect me. You know, if I let that affect me, I'll let, you know, 30,000 plus fans affect me once I get in the ring. And, you know, I got a ton of vision towards Marky Garcia Saturday night.
I
got
to tell you, one of the baddest ass things I've seen in a long time was you going over to England to fight Kell Brook. Tell me about going there to beat his ass. And boy, did you put a pummeling on him. He was begging for mercy.
Thank you. Appreciate that, man. I mean, it took a lot of guts. And, I mean, that's what it's all about if you want to be great. And I just wanted to be a champion and had a chance to prove that I wasn't one of the best fighters in the world. And, you know, I took on the opportunity by going to Sheffield.
So do you really want Bud Crawford? Is that the guy you're after?
I want to fight everybody. You know, that's the main goal for me, is to be undisputed welterweight champion. So, I mean, I'm in the process of doing that right now. Right now, I'm in the process of raising my fan base and raising my stock up and being the top welterweight division. So, I think this fight will do that. And then, you know, after that, you know, we'll see what's next.
Do you think you're going to be forced to fight Thurman or Pacquiao because of all the bad blood between the PBC and Top Rank?
Same thing for me. They guys I've been calling out since I was like 14-0. So, I mean, I've been putting the press on them for longest to try to get these fights and make them fight happen.
How cool is it that this fight is at Jerry's World, AT&T Stadium in Dallas on Fox Pay-Per-View? What a scene it's going to be on Saturday night. I'm so glad I'm going.
I think it's going to be electrifying. I mean, having a hometown guy fight here and having a great opponent like Mikey Garcia, you know, fight here too, this is going to be electrifying. It's going to be a great event. And, you know, it's really a dream come true to be fighting at home in front of all my fans. I can't wait to put on another great performance.
So what did you think when you did the presser with him and you actually were standing side by side with him and you saw the size differential up close for your, you know, very self?
Definitely laugh, because, I mean, I know this dude can really fight. So, I mean, I don't really think nothing of it. I mean, I just know what I got to do, and I got to use my jab and listen to my coach and, you know, basically, you know, work out our game plan.
What's it like fighting for cash now after all of your amateur success when you were fighting as a kid? And did you ever think you'd get to the point where you were, you know, fighting for money?
I mean, it's great. It's a dream come true, just, you know, fighting for titles and, you know, fighting in small venues for no money, you know, as an amateur. And now, you know, it led me to this point. So I feel like everything from, you know, me being a kid and fighting the small little tournaments and going to nationals and going to the Olympics led me up to this moment. And that experience is going to lead me to a victory come Saturday night.
Did you know you wanted to be a champion when you were a kid, winning Golden Glove belts?
Yeah, I knew when I won the Golden Glove that I was going to be champion one day.
You're awesome, dude. Listen, good luck on Saturday. I can't wait to see you in Dallas. It's going to be an incredible fight against Mikey Garcia on Fox Pay-Per-View. Call your cable operator to get the fight. Thanks a lot, Errol Spence. Good luck.
Thank you. No problem.
There's Errol Spence Jr., the IBF welterweight champion of the world, getting benched on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, back in Dallas with Mafia on the Bench on CBS Sports Radio. Carver High back in New York with Bocce Ball. Monzi in Pittsburgh on the Fan. You're on CBS Sports Radio. Call the show right now. We'll get you on the air. 855-212-4CBS. Monzi.
Hello, Pharrell.
Yo, what up?
First time caller. Can you pour me a cold one?
Get him a cold impen and iron. Shake out.
Well, I'm calling you today. I like your show. This is the first time I'm calling you, and I want to talk about Odell Beckham Jr. and
right.
Brown.
Right.
There's a reason why these teams got rid of them, because they're both a pain in the ass. I don't care how much talent they got. They can ruin your team. So Tomlin this year has to regroup and re-coach these people the way they should be coached. Now, you got the New England Patriots, Belichick. He would have never tolerated this behavior. And the last call was called about the Cleveland Browns. Until they win a playoff game, That guy does not know what he's talking about.
Yeah, we established that. There's, I have no disparaging things to say about the guy as a fan that he loves his team and he wants them to win and that he's sick and tired of the Steelers. But I get it, and I appreciate his passion for his team. I've said this so many times, I'm getting sick of it. Here's the deal. I like Cleveland. It's a great town. I'm not one of these Pittsburghers that hates everyone in Cleveland and, you know, that's my arch rival and enemy. I'm not one of those guys. I just have never believed that. I actually, you know, I don't like the, you know, I'm not, I've been in that fandom where I hate the Browns because I'm a Steeler fan. I've done that as a kid. But I grew out of that. I just don't care because they never did anything to, you know, ever impress me. In other words, they never won. So, I mean, the Steelers beating them was – that was easy. So – and it really was. It was – they owned them. And so over the years, I just didn't care about what the Browns were doing because they were never a factor. And that's just all there is to it. And so let me say this as well about what you brought up was a really good point is that about Tomlin and Belichick. I believe that you're right. I think Bill Belichick would have never put up with this for 1 minute, and that's all there is to it. And that Tomlin did is a huge mark against him. He let this guy run the asylum. I mean, Brown, you know, I get it. You said they can tear a team apart. I don't believe, you know, he was their best player, so – I believe that Brown and Bell were both the best players on the team, without a doubt. And, you know, one over the other is hard to do because you got the best receiver in the game, which is what Brown is and has been. So there's no questioning his talent and what he brought to the Steelers. There's not one fan in that city that can't, you know, deep down realize what he meant to the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was a fantastic superstar player that put up huge successful seasons and numbers unequaled by anyone. He is without a doubt a winner, and he's been incredible, and fans there adored him and loved him and absolutely cherished every Sunday because he was a stud, and that's all there is to it. And I think what it is they're very mad at him because he of the way he went out. So his way to get out of Pittsburgh was to, I believe, disparage everyone in his wake. In other words, he let everyone have it. You name it, he did them. And then he tried to play like he's this, you know, squeaky clean, just, you know, guy that works hard, hardest working guy in the game, and he trains harder and puts in the effort and the work, and on Sundays it pays off. There's no denying that he did all those things. There's no denying that he works hard and that he plays harder. There's no denying that. But there's also no denying at all that he was a wood chipper. This guy put everyone in the wood chipper. He literally threw his coach, his owner, all the coaches, the head coach, the assistant coaches, his quarterback, his teammates. I mean, there wasn't anyone on the team he didn't throw in the wood chipper. I mean, and then for him to go out to Oakland and start hugging and kissing people and calling him Mr. Gruden and going over to Carr's house and giving him a hug and a kiss. I mean, all that stuff was dripping wet with cheese. Feta cheese is what it was. It was the biggest phony stuff I've ever seen in my life. That guy can't get enough of himself on camera. Some guy called and said, I need a reality show. They need to give AB a reality show because he can't get enough of himself. He's absorbed in his own fame and infamy, and that's all there is to it. He's a narcissist at the highest level. But I will never, ever question his abilities or talent on the football field. The guy's a rock star. He was incredible. And I think people in Pittsburgh are mad that he left and are mad the way he did it and are mad the way he talked about all of his teammates and coaches, and the way he handled his business was ugly. He got out of Pittsburgh ugly. He didn't leave clean. He left way ugly, and he'll be hated forever in Pittsburgh. They're going to hate him forever, but he was the best thing that ever happened to the Pittsburgh Steelers over the last 10 years, and that's all there is to it. I think Bell, you know, he had a situation that was entirely different. They had tagged him twice. He wanted – He wanted no more of that. He wanted out of that, and he was willing to waive $14.5 million to do it and lose an entire season of his life, in which he went out and partied and did rap albums and went to strip clubs and rode jet skis. So at least he had a good time while he was screwing over the franchise and the city and the team and the fans and everybody else. So he chose, I'm going to screw everyone over way of handling his business. So I think he's also a drip. People are always like, you know, this guy, look what he sacrificed. You know, my ass, okay? My ass. What he did was he screwed everyone over. That's what he did. He screwed over the entire team, organization, and city by sitting out. So both of them, if you ask me, they're both cancer. That's all there is to it. So you can have them. Have fun with it because it's coming your way, too. A leopard don't change his spots. Both of them are nothing but trouble. And you're going to see it for yourself. And there's no way on God's earth that Odell Beckham will ever be anything more than the tool ass that he is. That's what he is who he is. I mean, I don't even know what he's got going. The whole look, everything about him, I can't stand it. But I think he's a great player who acts like a two-year-old. And that's just all there is to it. Now, as far as the guy that called up before, that everybody's enamored with, the guy that talked about how great the Browns are, or that they're going to be. They're going to win all these Super Bowls. There was another guy that was on hold for so long he gave up, and what he was going to tell me was that the Browns have won before. And I'm like, you know, they have won before. You're right. Here's when they won. They won the first time they ever won a league championship was 1964. So I have to say it predates my birth in 1965. So there's the Mendoza line right there. From the day I was born, they have sucked my entire life. And then and even when they were good, they lost. So before that, they had won as well in 54 and 1955. They had won. And in 1950, they won league championships, all when the NFL wasn't the NFL. So their entire history is filled with, 64 back to 54. And in that 10-year decade, that was when they won. I just don't respect that. I don't respect the for me, you know, I guess it's great what they did then, back in the day when there like really wasn't a league. It was like this pathetic outfit that wasn't, you know, it didn't matter. I can tell you that much. So now that it since it has mattered, and when they merged and when the league became significant, they have lost so many times, make your head spin. 65, lost the championship. 67, lost the conference championship. 68, league championship lost. 69, lost the league championship. 71, lost the divisional playoffs. 72, lost in the divisional playoffs. Went several years without. Got back in 1980, lost in the divisional. In 1982, lost in round one. In 85, lost divisional playoffs. And 86, lost the conference championship. 87, lost the conference championship. We all remember those Schottenheimer teams. And then 88, lost in a wild card. And 89, lost in the conference championship. And then they went back in 94. I went to that game, lost in the divisional round, lost in a wild card in 2002. And, they haven't been back since. So don't try to sell me your BS, okay? Don't try to tell everyone that the Browns have a history of winning when they don't, okay? So let's just get real here. They've never done anything. And all that stuff back in the 50s, congratulations. Tell your great-grandfather. And I'll tell you another thing. This has no bearing on how great of a city I think it is. It's a great city, great fans, great. I think it's a good organization. It's got a great future. I think they got a real bright thing going on right now. It's positive. It's all moving in the right direction. You got to get the goods to be good. You got to get the players. You got to get it stacked up. And I think they have that now. Now they got to go out and execute. That's all there is to it. They've never executed. I mean, you people are celebrating 7 wins like you won 15. I mean, reality check, folks. I mean, get a reality check. Tell me I'm wrong. Please tell me I'm wrong so I can laugh at you, too. 855-212-4227. I love the city of Cleveland. I really do. I think it's a great party town. I've been there a million times, had a blast. But I'm not buying your BS about how great your football team is. You've never won jack. So whatever. Let's go back to New York and get an update with Jay Berman.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, we're back in Dallas, actually in Arlington at AT&T for the Spence Garcia fight Saturday night on Fox pay-per-view. Call your cable operator. 855-212-4227 is the number to get on this show. Pharrell on the Bench on the road in Texas with the PBC and Fox and our boy Bruce Binkow getting involved. And Mafia has got a serious gambling problem over here. We've been looking at all the games tonight, Mafia. There's so much action, and then we're, like, eyeing tomorrow. We can't even get through today, but you're already moving ahead to tomorrow because of the action.
Well, today's almost done, you know. Yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery. Let's get on what's coming up next. I mean, we kind of got a little bit gypped today because this is the first real big day for conference tournament action. You have some of these other ones where some of these crappy teams that don't even deserve to be in the conference tournament anymore, but it's so big they'll play on Tuesday or Wednesday, or they're the minor conferences that you don't really care about.
Right.
And they'll play earlier so that their title games line up, you know, Friday, so they get some of the primetime TV time. But the really big ones, the Big Ten, the ACC, the Big East, SEC, that's when they really get under swing is today. And we're traveling in the morning, so by the time we got here, we're kind of gassed. Had to drive out here and do some interviews, so didn't really see much of the games of the early action. Then got back, you know, you got to go sleep, get ready for the show, maybe work out a little bit, go eat dinner. Didn't see much of the late action. We kind of got robbed of today, so I'm really looking forward to tomorrow where we might get some time to actually sit down and watch this action, because this is what makes March great, watching these games. Teams.
You mean the games that we don't get to watch at all?
Well, watching the games that really matter, because some of these teams, a lot of these guys are playing for their lives. I mean, you're in
this
Indiana,
is the worst
Hoosiers,
thing I have ever experienced in my life, that we can't sit here and watch basketball when we're doing this show. I mean, I might as well be in Leavenworth.
I'm just really excited that it's not next week. I'm excited for this fight. I can't wait for a Saturday, but I'm just glad we're not doing this next week, because if we're missing the first week of March Madness, I would probably have to not come.
Like, you know what I mean? To sit here and not watch all these great games and just sit here in the dark is insanity.
If they were going to interrupt my day drinking and tournament watching, I would be upset.
Honestly, like, I can't believe you don't have, like, TVs going. Like, are you kidding
There's
me?
So many of them sitting
There's 700 TVs in front of us, and they're all turned off, every one of them. All they have to do is turn them on and put it on one of the games. And then I wouldn't complain. I just think it's lame. I really do.
You know what? I'm kind of surprised that's the first thing that you are complaining about today, given the way the day started and went.
You can't even tell me I'm wrong.
This is the first thing that you're complaining about. There's so many things that usually you would start the show and just talk about how terrible it was.
Well, tell them what happened.
Well, first of all, the flight was not – that was fine. Getting to the airport, no problems through TSA. That's usually a trap for you going through TSA.
Right.
Whether it be the equipment that you bring with us or your brand-new shoes that somehow smell like bombs to them.
Yeah.
Without plenty of issues with your giant shampoo bottles that you put in your carry-on and get pulled out for. Didn't have any of that today. Got to the plane, no incident. Flew here, no problem. Once we got to Dallas, that's where it started unraveling right there.
What happened?
First of all, everything's bigger in Texas. Well, so is the airport. And apparently they have not heard of the walking, escalator, runway things where you just stand there and it takes you. Because we had to walk, like, all the way down to one end.
Like
then
a mile.
All the way back to get out. After we got out, then double back to get to the baggage.
And we walked 5 miles.
Then wait for our bags for, like, 45 minutes because they put, like, 3 different planes on the one baggage claim.
Right.
Then we get there, we have to go find the car, wait for the – it's like 20 minutes for the bus to get there.
How long did I wait at Hertz?
Then we had to take the bus ride like 15 minutes. I thought we were driving to the hotel. It took so long to get on the bus ride to where the rental cars were. Waited on the line for 45 minutes. And then we get up there, and the guy tells you, okay, goes to the whole thing, runs the car, and, oh, yeah, we don't have your car. You have to wait with all those people that are over there that have been waiting for 45 minutes for your car because we just don't have them here yet.
I said, when are you getting the cars? He goes, I don't know. You could be here a while. And I went, I said, I'm not doing that. That's not happening. So one thing led to another. And as they say in the south of France, I ended up in a Jaguar. Shake it.
Yes, we got ourselves a little upgrade because if it's more money or waiting, you're always going to choose more money.
I just don't care. So I got to.
Rolling in style through Dallas.
I mean, I do have a very powerful sports car I'm driving, which is good because you get a test drive Jaguars, and now
but,
you know.
But you skipped a lot with long story short, because then when they told us, okay, you got the Jaguar, it's in this spot. We go out to the lot,
and there's an
Escalade. It was a Suburban sitting there, and the guy's like, oh, yeah, that's not the right one.
It was an Escalade.
It was a Suburban. Then he's like, oh, well, you just take that Escalade.
Take that Escalade. What happened
now? Escalade's over there. So then you go to pull it out because we couldn't get our bags, and it was backed all the way against the stanchion there. So you pull it out, and as you pull out, the tire rolls around, and we see there's a giant bolt.
I mean a bolt.
In the, not looks like a little nail or a screw, like a bolt.
A bolt the size of a microphone.
Where the whole head is sitting there on top of the tire that we saw just sticking out of the tire. You're like, I can't take this car. This is going to go flat in 5 minutes.
Yeah, and the guy's like, you're right. You can't drive this car.
So he had to take that one away and then just took it away without saying, okay, I'll get you another one. So you have to go back
in. I had to go back in and tell the lady, listen, you have no cars here, and the one you just gave me isn't here either. There's no cars. And then finally they gave me a different one, and I got it, and then I drove hours. I mean, I've been driving since I got here.
You have.
I mean, you drive an hour just to get here to do this show. It's an hour here and back, automatic.
Right, half hour each way. Thankfully, we didn't hit much traffic.
I've already done it twice today. So I've spent 2 hours driving and another half hour from the airport to the hotel, then to here, then back, then here, then back tonight. So it's a lot of driving. I feel like it's crazy. But I never – did I really complain at all?
Well, to me, yes. But on the show about it, no, this is the first time we've talked about it.
But I am
usually you would open the show with that.
But am I right about that they have 75 TVs here and not one of them's on?
And
there's 50 million.
They're not like little TVs. They're huge.
They're enormous. They're the size of your house, these TVs. All they had to do is click them on so we could watch basketball. That's it. That's all I'm asking. Like, can't somebody turn on the TV so we can watch basketball? No. I feel like I'm in a ghost house. I mean, honestly, like, I'm just, you know, it's one thing to spend every day of my life with you. It's another to look at you with nothing else to look at. There's nothing to look
and
at besides
like
you.
There's no one here, like you said. It's pretty much five.
Like,
there's a
kid doing a show down here, and, like, just the fact that we got to meet someone was exciting.
And he's going to be done soon. It's going to be
probably,
just us.
He's probably going to be
just us and the passed out engineers.
Well, they're completely passed out, both of them. They're both out cold. You got to love it. The guys running the whole operation are both completely passed out, like they drank 50 shots of 151. They're both just completely out cold right now. Sean in Boston on the hub.
Scotty, check it out.
Check it out.
Hey, can I get a single shot of very warm? Actually, make it chilled SoCo, please.
Check it out.
Hey, right. I just want to talk real quick about the AFC North and the Cleveland Browns. I've been to Cleveland before. I know you have, I'm sure. Dude, that city is pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, it is. It's a cool place. I always have fun there. I've never gone there and not had a good time. So I've seen it all, and I don't have a problem with it. I think Cleveland's a great town. I think they have great fans. I think they're very passionate about their sports, and they're cool, and they chug beer and smoke fatties, and they love hot chicks. So I'm cool with Cleveland. I have no problem with it. But I'm not going to sit here and do this show every night in Cleveland. And, you know, I'm in New York. I could care less I'm in New York. I could care less that I'm in, you know, big New York. That means nothing to me. And it means nothing to me that I'm from Pittsburgh, to be honest with you. The fact of the matter is, it's simple. The Browns suck. They always have. And that's all there is to it. There's no arguing it. They have never done anything, and that's it. And so to argue with me about that every night and tell me you're going to win all these Super Bowls is laughable. I hope they win one, for Christ's sake, so that they can at least enjoy, like they enjoyed when LeBron brought them that title in 16. That was the happiest I've ever seen those people. They deserve that. And I don't know if they'll ever get it in football, but they claim that it's going to be multiple Super Bowls. That's what I've heard the last 3 days. Dynasty and multiple Super Bowls. And remember, you're hanging your hat on – now listen, you're hanging your hat on Beckham and Landry, and they're both nothing but trouble, and they have both been narcissists, and you can't win with that. And I'm telling you, the way they're going to win, in my opinion, believe it or not, in that town, is with Baker Mayfield – and obviously he's got to throw it to somebody. Those guys are really good. I won't deny it. But they're going to win with him, and I believe at some point or another they're going to realize they have to have a championship defense to win a Super Bowl, and it's not the other way around. It's not having Beckham and Landry, because look what Bell and Brown brought the Steelers. I mean, they got a lot of rings out of those two, didn't they? How about none? I mean, it's that simple. And all I know is Bell, every time there was a big game, he was standing on the sideline holding his D. And all I know is Brown is incredible, but he didn't win jack. So you can have the greatest receiver in the world, and you got no Super Bowls. So all these people predicting all this grandiose stuff, remember, the proof's in the pudding. There's been a lot of great teams with great receivers that never won it. How about when Marino was throwing to Duper and Clayton? They were great, and they never won it. They never sniffed it. All I know is – you talk big. You really do talk big for a loser town. I mean, for, you know, a football loser town. You have been a loser in football since God, you know, put you on the earth. That's it. There's no arguing it. You people can argue till you're blue in the face, and I'm going to just keep laughing at you because you just don't get it. You just refuse to accept the fact that I'm right, and I don't even want to be right. And the reality is that I am. And they're in the AFC North power shift. All right, congratulations. In paper and on sports talk radio and on television, on ESPN, everyone's going to tell you that the Browns are the greatest team in the AFC North. And, you know, since that division was formed, right, who's run it? The Steelers and Ravens. That's all there is to it. And let me tell you something else. The Browns beating the Patriots in an AFC championship game. You know, when hell freezes over, okay, I'll believe it when I see it. You got to remember, you're bragging about winning seven games. You're still a loser. You won seven games and you're bragging. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. Where are we at here, Mafia? I'm under a tremendous strain. You're giving me sign language. Mafia now speaking in tongues. Carver, do you think I'm wrong about this stuff? I mean, seriously.
No, I don't think you're wrong. I told you 1,000 times. Everybody's got to chill out a little bit. Just chill out. That's all.
Let me ask you this question.
Yes.
Do you think I'm wrong about St. John's?
I don't believe that St. John's belongs in the tournament. Now, here's why St. John's is going to get in. The bubble is very soft this year. There is not a lot of teams worthy of being in the tournament. It's a bad year for that. Some of the teams I saw in the last four in just now, I don't think any of them deserve to be in, but that's just the way the tournament's going to go this year.
Do you believe that Maryland is just like St. John's, phony?
No, Maryland's a lot better than St. John's. I mean, they're a locked tournament team, but
they got their ass beat today by one of the worst teams in the Big Ten,
I know,
Nebraska.
But Texas Tech lost to West Virginia today, too. I mean, sometimes these things happen in the conference tournament.
Well, I'll give you this. I think Bob Huggins is a good coach, and I think two people in America can tell you who Nebraska's coach is. And you know why? The first one is because the guy fell down the night before. It's Pharrell on a bench from Arlington.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.